Well, this morning I'm preaching on the theme of living in the kingdom. And I'm choosing as a text a familiar one from Romans chapter 14, but maybe not so familiar because I'm reading it from the Passion Translation. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but is in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. And Holy Spirit, we ask you now to anoint these lips and anoint our ears that we might hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church today. Let your word run swiftly and be glorified, and let it bring transformation and change in our lives, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Maybe that news should have happened later, because I don't know if that put a cold blanket on the church, but God is king and he is in control. Amen. Well, how many of you were with us last Sunday? I see your hands. You know that Marvin Bray preached a wonderful message on it's time to take a stand. And if you were not here, please be sure to check out that message on our website. And as he preached, he quoted a verse from Daniel, which has become now the inspiration for today's message. You will recall in his message, he was sharing how Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream of that image that he saw in his dream but didn't even remember. It was this huge statue that was made of gold, silver, bronze, and iron, and it had feet of iron and clay. And Daniel spoke to King Nebuchadnezzar and explained that this represented four earthly empires. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar, this is what you saw in your dream. And as you look, this is chapter 2, verse 34, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Now, I think we know who that stone is. That stone is Jesus, who according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, he is the chief cornerstone. He is the stone that the builders rejected. But he is also a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus explained that in Matthew 21 and 44, where he says, anyone who stumbles over this stone will be crushed, and anyone that it falls on will be smashed to pieces. Other translations say, or will be ground into powder. See, this stone, this rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, is almighty and all-powerful. And as I read these words in Daniel, I was also reminded of the words of the psalmist in chapter 2, which we know is a messianic psalm, and it speaks about the coming Messiah, where God declares, the nations shall be yours for the asking, and the entire earth will belong to you. They are yours to crush with an iron scepter, yours to shatter like fragile clay pots. Now listen to Daniel's interpretation of this dream, and this is the verse that captured my attention, which is the foundation for the message this morning. Verse 35, then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that not even a trace of them could be found. You know, when God destroys something, When the stone falls on that which displeases God, it is crushed not only to pieces, but into a powder that the wind drives away, and there is not even a trace of it that remains. And the scripture says that that stone that struck the image became a great mountain, and it filled the entire earth. Do you know what that prophecy is telling us this morning? That that stone is Jesus, who came to establish a kingdom that will ultimately fill the entire earth. And that's the hope of every believer today. And that's the encouragement to our hearts, even in this hour in which we live, as we see daily our hearts being vexed by the anachronistic society in which we live, where we witness that our righteous foundations are being destroyed. Our nation is being overwhelmed by evil and violence. The destruction of law and order. Americans, not foreigners, Americans are burning their flag. Americans are burning the Bibles on which this land was founded. And thugs and arsonists are being paid by George Soros to tear down national monuments and to wreak havoc in our streets. And we stand by helpless as we watch our cities turned into trash heaps, as we watch businesses being destroyed and looted, while leftists politicians are demanding the police must stand down and allow this violence to continue. Now, I ask you this morning, how can this kind of violence and destruction be part of God's will and part of God's plan? It is against His will and against His word and against His plan, but such is the world in which we are living. But, Christian friends, we must guard against depression. We must guard against despair. We must guard against succumbing to the fear which is so pervasive in our time. Just turn the news on for a minute, and your heart is going to be filled with fear. What must we do as believers? We must cling to the Word of God that stands as a bulwark against the evils and the atrocities of our day, knowing beyond all knowing that regardless of what evils and what violence and what hideous things are happening in our world today and all that has gone wrong, the last chapter has already been written. And we read about it in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And it will be a kingdom of righteousness and peace and justice and truth. We need to understand that the Word of God, from the very beginning in Genesis to the very end in Revelation, is about one thing: God's right to rule, about His kingdom. And in fact, the restoration of the kingdom of God is the very reason why Jesus came to this earth. Do we need to be reminded this morning that when Jesus launched His preaching ministry, it was all about the kingdom? We read in Mark 1 and 15, the very first words that came out of His mouth were these: at last, the fulfillment of the age has come. It's time for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. And so was also the message of the disciples that Jesus commissioned to go and preach the gospel. We read about that in Luke 10 and verse 9. What were Jesus' instructions to them in the 70 as they went? He said, this is what you're to do, and this is what you're to say. Heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Do you know that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he hung around for 40 days and he presented himself alive, the scripture tells us, to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. Why? Speaking about the kingdom of God. We get so focused on what Jesus did on the cross. And I understand that that was an important part. It was an integral and critical part of what he had to do. But the bigger picture is he did that so that the kingdom of God could be established, so that you and I could come into this kingdom and help advance that kingdom that is here now and that is yet to come in all of its fullness. Purpose of Jesus was not just to prove that he was alive, but to teach about the kingdom of God. Then the Apostle Paul experiences that radical conversion on the road to Damascus. And of course, yes, he went forth and preached the gospel that Jesus was the Messiah. But do you know what the theme of his message was? We read about it in Acts in chapter 28. He would go into the synagogues, gather the Jewish leaders, and the Bible tells us from morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God. Say, wasn't it enough for Paul just to tell them that Jesus is the Messiah and that he died on the cross to save them from their sin? Now, if you were a Jewish leader in the synagogue, if you were versed in the Old Testament scriptures, you knew what the Bible had to say. And Paul, as a good teacher, went from the known to the unknown. And the known was, if you were the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, you knew those Old Testament scriptures, you knew about the kingdom of God. And all Jewish scribes and leaders and scholars would be familiar with those messianic passages as found in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. And in those days of the king, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms, bring them to an end, but it shall stand forever. And the Jewish people are still looking for that Messiah to come so that he could establish that kingdom that will last forever. But it was the kingdom of God that was the theme of Paul's preaching. And we read even in Acts 28 and verse 30 and 31, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in Rome in his rented house. He received all who came to him. And what did he do? He preached the kingdom of God and taught the things that concern Jesus Christ. What did he preach? What did he teach for 2 years? The theme of the scriptures, the kingdom of God. And the king of that kingdom, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. See, our challenge today, Christian friends, is we need to elevate our understanding and our appreciation for what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And yes, As I already said, it was through the cross that our salvation has been made possible. But I fear that we've become so myopic and think only about our salvation, and our whole Christian experience has become somewhat, will you allow me to say this, tainted by the spirit of the age, and with no thanks to the prosperity preachers, to this idea of entitlement, what's in it for me? Oh, I gave my heart to Jesus. Now I want to float to heaven on beds of ease. Because I knelt at the foot of the cross, now I'm entitled to all of the blessings and all of the favor and the healing and the deliverance. And best of all, when I die, I have the assurance that I'm going to get to heaven. I want to suggest to you this morning that that's all about your agenda. Where's our concern for God's agenda? His agenda is all about his kingdom rule. And if getting into heaven someday is all that you care about, then you've missed the whole point of why Jesus came. We need to understand first and foremost that the cross is all about the glory of God. You say, the cross is about me. No, it's not about you. It's about the glory of God. For when the cross apprehends you, God gets glory through our lives, not by the way we live, but by the way we die to ourselves, by the way we identify with Christ on his cross, and we are raised to newness of life, and is now no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me, and then he gets all of the glory. And I want to say today that we become worthy recipients of the benefits of the cross when my passion is his passion. And you know what his passion is? That he rules and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, if that's the common thread that runs throughout the entirety of the Holy Scriptures, it behooves us to ask ourselves, how prominent is the kingdom of God in my theology? How prominent is the kingdom of God in my practice and in my lifestyle? And maybe we just need a little refresher this morning. What does it mean to you to be part of the kingdom of God? See, once again, because we only think in terms of being born again, we fail to see that being a Christian and living as a Christian are two different things. Some people think all I need to do is kneel at the altar and say, Jesus, forgive me for a sinner, and then I could go on my merry way and live the life that I want to live, do the things I want to do, everything that I think and feel and want. Everything that my soul dictates. No, you've got it all wrong. Your soul doesn't dictate. Your soul dies. Your spirit lives by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, who dictates the direction of your life on a daily basis. See, it's the big difference between church people and kingdom people. Are we just church people this morning, or are we truly kingdom people? I came across these contrasts as I was preparing this message between the cross and the kingdom, and I think it really helps clarify what we're trying to help us to understand this morning. Number one, the cross is about redemption, but the kingdom is about restoration. Oh yes, we're redeemed by silver, not with silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. But that's not enough just to be redeemed. What happens to my life? Am I restored? Is my soul healed from all of the woundings of sin, from all of the dysfunction that came into my life before I came to Jesus Christ. It just doesn't go away. But as we live in the kingdom, there is a progressive transformation that takes place, and we're changed from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's living in the kingdom. Not just redemption, not just saying, oh, I'm saved. I asked Jesus into my heart. He forgave me of my sins. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's interested in restoration. The cross is about entrance, but the kingdom is about a realm. You know, we know in the natural that the kingdom is a territory or a realm over which a king reigns. And whenever you see that word in the New Testament, in the Greek language, it's basileia, and it always means sovereignty, royal power, and dominion. It speaks about a realm in which there is a king who rules and reigns. You know, we live in a democracy, so we just don't think about what it used to be like when people lived in a monarchy. The king was on his throne and he ruled exclusively and had absolute over control over everything that happened. If you didn't smile at him in the right way, he would say to one of his soldiers, "Off with their head." There was no trial. There was no democracy. There was no jury. Off with your head, because the king said so. Everyone was subservient and submissive to the order of the king. You remember that the disciples were hoping for Jesus to set up that kind of monarchy where he would say what he had to say and no one would contest it, but they would just submit. But we know that Jesus instead came to establish not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, which would be made manifest through the lives that were lived in those who became followers of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. That's with visible display, because the Jewish leaders waited for a Messiah, still waiting. They want him to come out of the sky and set up his kingdom on this earth. But Jesus continued, it doesn't come that way. And neither will they say, lo here, lo there, behold the kingdom of God. But he says, it is within you. The nature of the kingdom is to establish God's rule in our hearts and in our lives. The third distinction that I read is the cross is about life, but the kingdom is about something to live for. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And it's true that when we come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and takes that which was spiritually dead and now brings us new life. That's what's called regeneration. But the kingdom is not just about that life. The kingdom gives us something to live for. It's not enough to just get saved and say, glory to God, I'm on my way to heaven. But you're saved with destiny. You're saved with purpose. You're saved to advance the kingdom of God and through your life to bring him honor and to bring him glory. Fourthly, the cross is a mindset of just saving souls, but the kingdom is about producing disciples. And we could preach a whole sermon there. So many down through the ages, so many people asking Jesus into their heart. Babies that never got discipled. They lost their way. They were like the seed that fell on stony ground. Yeah, the seed was there, but it was on stony ground and it never took root in their heart. No one was there to nurture it, to help it to grow so that they could grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you see the difference between salvation, between the cross, and what it means to be in the kingdom? So the question and the challenge to our hearts today is, are you in the kingdom? Are you in the kingdom? I think I'm going to end it here this morning. I've given us a lot to think about, to ponder. Come back next week because we're going to show you how you can prove and how your life is to be lived that will demonstrate the reality of what it is to be in the kingdom. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you today that you loved us so much that you did die on that cross to save us from our sin. But we thank you that you not only came to give us new life and to raise us out of our spiritual death, but Lord, you brought us into your kingdom that we might walk in newness of life, that our lives would be filled with purpose, that our lives would be filled with the understanding that you have an agenda for our lives. You have an agenda for this world in which we live. You have an agenda for our homes, for our families, for our cities, for our states, for our nation. Help us, God, today to be part of what you are doing on the face of the earth. Open our eyes, open our ears, that we might see, that we might know, that we might understand what you are about in the earth, and cause us to be integrally involved in your plan, that your kingdom might come and that your will might be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.